Let's focus on title fraud. Yes, title fraud. What does that mean? Well, it's when a fraudster steals your identity and forges documents to either remortgage your home and walk away with the proceeds. Just think about that for a second. And they sell your home rights out from under you. It sounds like a Hollywood plot, but it is a growing issue in our country. Recently, it was reported that 30 Toronto area homes were sold without their owners knowing. The cause there was organized crime, according to law enforcement. Even here in Vancouver, the Better Business Bureau of Mainland BC has also issued a warning last week to title fraud. Joining me now to talk about the issue is Ron Butler. He's a mortgage broker at Butler Mortgages. Ron, thank you for speaking to us about this today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So walk me through this. How does this happen?
Okay, the first thing to understand is this is, even though it's just breaking out now and seems to be a concern in major Canadian cities, this is something that's been going on for the best part of 20 years. It just comes and goes in waves, and right now we're at the crest of a big wave. So it's very simple, really. It's essentially identity theft. The idea is that the perpetrators, who typically organized crime, all cases organized crime, discover a house that's vacant. It's a perfectly good house. It's empty. They check around. They have ways of checking. It's public record. There's no mortgage on this house. There's absolutely no mortgage. So here's an empty house. People are definitely not there. There's no mortgage on the house. So steal the identity of the people who are on the title of the house, or the person who's on the title of the house, and then get all the proper fake ID, and then contact a realtor, get the locks changed, contact a realtor, and get them to sell the house. You collect the proceeds and run away. That's the whole concept.
And so do you have to come in as a renter, potentially? Do these people come in as renters then?
There's, you know, I'm not a member of organized crime. I just know that this is how the system works, okay? They have systems they use to discover properties that have no mortgages. They send scouts out to find out if the property is empty and vacant and there's no appearance of anybody returning. And once they're sure that they're on solid ground, by the way, in the cases in Toronto, they are all cases of people who've been away from the home for very long periods of time. In one case, the property had never been occupied for the 3 years since it was purchased. And I think there's a few of those in Vancouver, too. So the bottom line is they find these homes with no mortgage and are completely unoccupied for long periods of time. And then they just work on getting the fake ID in place. And then the scam takes over and the property gets sold. The good news is that the sale is reversed. In all provinces in Canada, there's legislation in place to reverse the sale. So the people who are being defrauded will eventually get their title back.
How long does that take? Like, do you have to go through court, or how does that process work to get your property back?
Great question. They have streamlined the system. It used to take longer, but now they've streamlined it down to about 4 or 5 months.
4 or 5 months.
Now, the people who are in trouble are the people who paid for the house. Like, they're honest people who thought they had legitimately purchased a home. However, their refund is then covered through title insurance. That's why everybody typically gets title insurance to guard them against these situations.
Wow. And so in this case, shouldn't there be some sort of onus on the lending institution as well?
Well, again, great question. The lender does have onerous identification requirements. But in many cases, the lender... is only worried about the people who are buying the house. They don't care about the people who are selling the house. The people who are selling are just tangential to the lender. Mm-hmm. What is really going on here is that it's sophisticated identity theft. The title insurance companies have great software in place, and that's why we haven't heard about this for the last couple of years, because the title insurance companies upgraded their systems to catch these, because, as I say, they come in waves, there's solutions found, and then there's ways of catching them. And then finally, though, the mob, the organized crime, is very well organized. And eventually they figure ways through the software to pierce the software enhancements that are designed to try to make sure that they've got identification solid. And then there's all of a sudden a wave of these things happen. Now the title insurers discover what the issues are, refine what has gone wrong, and they'll start catching them again frequently over the next 6 months.
Do you think just because of the situation we're in now, there's a bit of desperation there, the market is in turmoil as well, that this picks up as well?
Oh, no. This is absolutely a function of organized crime. There's nobody does this as an amateur. It's quite complicated to do it successfully. You've got to be extremely on point and know exactly what you're doing. And in all of the investigations of the claims, it is discovered that, yes, these people are professional fraudsters. It's all going through organized crime.
So it's
really more of a question of we have too many empty homes in Toronto and Vancouver. That might be an issue.
that certainly wouldn't be the first accusation we've heard about empty homes here in Vancouver. It's ultimately really, it is just trying to protect. I know these people are sophisticated, but ultimately for homeowners, even if they don't live in that home, is to just do the best you can to protect your identity and to be wary and aware of that all the time.
100%. And it's also not a bad idea to have some kind of observation of what's going on in your home. I mean, these people have to show the home. The home is empty, but there might have been 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different times that people were let in to show the home, deciding on buying it. So it might be a great idea to have better ways to see if your home is being entered, if it's going to be empty for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, since I got you here, Ron, I'm going to ask you one question not related to this issue. We're expecting an interest rate rise tomorrow. Your thoughts on just where we are in regards to interest rates and real estate. I know you work out of the Toronto market, but you are originally from Vancouver as well. Your thoughts overall on where we are in regards to real estate in this country.
Well, we are going to see 78% certainty of some kind of increase tomorrow. The market has decided that it should be 25 basis points, a quarter of 1% it'll go up. This will further harm people who have variable rate mortgages, and in some cases it will also create a whole slew of trigger rates occurring where people's interest has risen to the point where it exceeds their payments. So it will be one more increase in all likelihood. That's a very solid bet. This may be the last increase. It's possible that there's that good news. It may be the last increase for a while. That is yet to be seen. Inflation, even though some people believe inflation is being wrestled to the ground, it's not a dead certain fact yet, and it's not a fact for everybody who's buying groceries. Anybody who buys food or pays it for food in a restaurant sure doesn't think inflation is under control. At least the last time I was at the groceries, it didn't. But we will see a 0.25% increase in all likelihood tomorrow, and that will just make things a little bit harder for everybody who has a home equity line of credit. Mm-hmm. Payments will go up, and for everyone who has a variable rate mortgage, payments will go up, interest will go up, and it's just more bad news.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, like you say, maybe the last one for a little while. Fingers crossed. Ron, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again. Thanks for having me.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.